Good evening, councillors, and good evening, staff. Good evening to our community residents in the audience. Welcome to this council meeting number 16, the time being 5:30 on Monday the 24th of July. Just to a reminder to all persons in attendance that it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I'll ask the acting general manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced.
Confirmed.
Thank you. At this point, I would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians on the land in which we gather tonight, and to acknowledge elders past and present. Tonight in attendance we have myself, Councillor Wass, Councillor Atkinson, Councillor Berry, Councillor Fox, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Percy, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Grace and Councillor Winter. From staff we have our Acting General Manager, Mr Ferrier, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr Breen, our Manager Finance, Mr Jones, our Manager Governance and Property Services, Mr Smee, our Manager Development Services, Mrs Tyler Moore, our Media and Communications Officer, Ms Wilcox, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. Apologies, we have one tonight in Councillor Reid's leave of absence. On page two, councillors, confirmation of minutes of council meeting number 15 held on the 10th of July 2017. Do I have a mover and seconder that the minutes of that meeting be confirmed? Thank you, Councillor Fox, and thank you, Councillor Bastone. Councillors, I'll put that recommendation, moved by Councillor Fox and seconded by Councillor Bastone, that the minutes of council meeting number 15 held on the 10th of July 2017 be confirmed. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, that is carried unanimously. The workshops that we've had since our meeting on the 22nd of May, there was one on the 25th of May, the Antarctic Experience and RV Strategy, the 3rd of July, Kingston Park Land Release Strategy, and on the 17th of July, 25A Osborne Esplanade. Declarations of interest, councillors, I'll ask if there's any councillor wishes to declare an interest or has an interest on tonight's agenda. Being none, we'll move on to page four, questions on notice from the public. There was a question in relation to the purchase of the former Kingston High School site by Mr Reid and an officer's response by Mr Breen. Also from Mr Reid, a question regarding council vehicles and an officer's response from Mr Breen. Questions without notice from the public. Are there any questions without notice? Yes, if you'd like to stand, please, your name, address, and I'll have a microphone there. Councillor Fox, thank you for that. And the question, of course, can't relate to any item that's on the agenda tonight.
I appreciate that, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Eva Marjanovic. My address is 4 Parish Lane, Margate. I'm a newcomer to Tasmania, and I'm not sure who is responsible for the Channel Highway. And what I'm wanting to know is who do I approach to advocate a change in the speed limit at the end of where the Channel Heritage site is. As you approach the hill, it changes to 60 just before the turn off into the Heritage Museum and into Parish Lane. And then, as you approach Margate from Snug, it becomes a 50 after those two turnoffs into closer into town. In Parish Lane, I have a young grandson who's going to grow up in there. There are five other children in Parish Lane who move about either by vehicle or walking or on a bicycle, and it makes sense to me that that 60 sign would be better pushed beyond the museum so that people coming up the hill are still doing 50, and as they approach into Margate they've slowed down to 50 before they get to the museum and Parish Lane turn off. So who do I approach for that?
Thank you. The owners of the road are in effect the state government through the Department of State Growth. And I'm sure I'll ask Mr Ferrier because he can give you some indication as to who you need to contact here, and we can certainly supply information for you.
Thank you.
Ferrier.
Through the chair, the The organisation of contact is the Department of State Growth. It's in the roads and traffic section of that department.
Thank you.
And the normal procedure would be that they would then contact the council, and council would provide some advice as to what our views would be on that matter
okay.
as well. So we council is involved, but it is the you need to initiate it through the department, and it's their decision at the end of the day.
Yeah, okay, lovely. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Any further questions, ladies and gentlemen? Mr. McGuire, if you give your name and address, please.
Mark McBride, Judd's Creek, Junbury.
Thank you, Mark.
Mayor Walsh, in the development of the Kingston Park and the redevelopment of it, has there been much visualising or conceptualising of it in terms of a bus terminus, in terms of a bus terminus for South East Tasmania? That's my first question.
Thank you. I'll ask Mr. Ferrier to respond.
Through the chair, there's been considerable thought given as to its role as a bus interchange. A final decision hasn't been made in that regard because we need to ensure that Metro agreed with that proposal.
My comment, outgoing comment is, from little things, big things come. And I think we need to start with transport in South East Tassie if we want to get the tourism up and underway a bit stronger. And the bus terminus will be a good start. Thank you. And my second question, if over the last week I've covered many, many kilometres looking up the Upper Huon, and if I wanted to share the Upper Huon with you councillors, it would be impossible because there's no signage. No signage whatsoever. So much for tourism in the Upper Huon. It doesn't exist. I'm sure the Eyrbil would like a back road from Judbury. I'm sure the Eyrbil would like the back road from Taran Mill out to the Eyrbil actually labelled. Give them the help. Now, my question is, if I wanted to share with you Lake Skinner, I couldn't because it's not on the map. If I wanted to share with you Reuben Falls, I couldn't because the Weld Road's not named, the South Wells Road's not named. Mayor Walsh, in the event of amalgamation between the Kingborough and Huon Valley councils, would you come out and tame the Huon's Wild West? Would you come and tame the Wild West for the Huon, please?
Look, in a serious response there, Mr. McBride, any signs like that would be one of the things that this council would do.
But I, thank you.
But I would ask and suggest to you that you contact Commissioner Taylor.
Again, I don't know whose roads they are. I'm just saying that I'm unable to share with any of this information with you people because it's also not on Kingborough's maps and Kingborough's radar either. Thank you for the time.
Unless it's a forestry road, any of those, they would be owned by the Huon Valley Council, apart from the highways, like the Channel Highway, the Huon Highway are state roads. But if they're not owned by forestry, they would be a Huon Valley Council road.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Anything you'd like to add, Mr. Perry? No,
thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Any other questions, ladies and gentlemen?
Hillbrand Chiringith, Redwood Road, Kingston. Mayor, at its meeting on the 24th of October 2016, Council approved the sale of 153 square metres of council-owned land, one of four public laneways, to the owner of 65 Roslyn Avenue. The sale of this land, which is conditional upon Council approving the development application for a three-lot subdivision and boundary adjustment of 65 Roslyn Avenue, was not publicly advertised, and the decision to sell this land was made in a closed session of Council. My questions are, what was the method used by Council for the sale of this land? And is this method normally used for the sale of Council-owned land? When did Council approve the particular method for the sale of this land? The Local Government Act 1993 requires council to obtain a valuation of the land before it is sold. When was the valuation obtained? What was the valuation? And what is the contract price? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scheringa. I'll ask Mr. Ferrier to respond to you.
Through the Chair, we'll take that question on notice and provide you with the information.
Thank you, Mr. Scheringa. Any further questions, ladies and gentlemen? There are none? Thank you. I'll move on to page 6 of the agenda. Questions on notice from councillors. On page 6, as I said, decision on planning authority by Councillor Bastone and a response by Mrs. Tyler Moore. Jet ski operation at Conningham from herself with an officer's response by Mr. Arnold. On page 7, roadworks at the next by Councillor Berry and an officer's response by Mr. Arnold. On page 8, snug and electronic youth infrastructure by Councillor Winter and an officer's response by Mrs. Swartz. On page 9, Kingston Beach pontoon by Councillor Winter and an officer's response by Mr. Reeve. Kingston Park development by Councillor Winter and an officer's response by Mr. Ferrier regarding that information. We'll move to page 10, questions without notice from councillors. Are there any questions without notice? Councillor Grace.
Yeah, I've got a few. Firstly, as you are aware, Mayor, I've raised concerns on the hole in Margate, which is proposed for a new shopping centre for the town of Margate. I requested that you provide the developer with the latest stats on the population in that area. Have you been able to supply him with that information as yet?
I phoned the developer after you and I spoke, Councillor Grace, and provided him with the information that the census was going to be released in June or July, and on that basis that information would be freely available to him if he wanted. He didn't ask me to follow through, so I assume he was going to get that information himself.
He was under the impression that you were going to follow, or council was going to follow it on to him.
I can follow that up if he would like me to do that.
I think it's important, Mayor. I'm wondering whether this council really want to see a shopping centre in Margate, so I'd appreciate it.
So he wants the population figures, yeah, for Kingborough.
Kingborough, yeah. Thank you.
No right. problem.
Okay. My second question, council mail that comes to the office. Some time ago, a month or so ago, 2 months, a letter came addressed to myself, strictly confidential, marked strictly confidential. I received a phone call from one of the staff members to say there was a mistake, it was opened, and apologised for it. So I thought, well, okay, mistakes happen. Just last week I came to the chambers, to our workshop, and I went into my pigeonhole, and here's another letter addressed to myself, Councillor Grace. It also had been opened. And this time it wasn't in the original envelope that it came in, it was put in a council envelope. And my question is, when stuff, particularly like code of conduct stuff, why is that allowed to occur? The general manager gave a guarantee through his staff that it would not occur again. And within a few weeks, it has occurred again.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Mr. Ferrier, would you like to respond with the, the normal procedures and what we can do so that that doesn't occur into the future?
Through the Chair, I haven't discussed that with the general manager in relation to what actually happened. I can only apologise for what did happen. In future, I can relay your concerns and I can ensure that it won't happen again, but I'll need to discuss that with the General Manager when he returns.
Well, I was assured, and I don't want to dwell on it, but I was assured and guaranteed it wouldn't happen again, and it has happened again. And funny enough, it was just two letters coming from the Code of Conduct panel. I'll say no more.
Thanks, Councillor Grayson. Now, I'll also take it up with the General Manager for you.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I appreciate that.
Your third question?
My other question is, could Council update us regarding the filming of the 67 commemoration of the 1967 bushfire? I understand in your speech to the public down there, you said as you were speaking, this is being filmed, because the question is, we want to get a copy, as I understand, to the Duke of Edinburgh, who acknowledged us for the 50th year of the 1967 bushfires.
Thank you, Councillor Gross.
And the final question.
I'd have to take that. We'll have to take that on notice, because I'll need to take it up with the General Manager. I did discuss that briefly with him, but I haven't had a response from staff or where we're at.
Okay, and just to add to that then, also the presentation to the book, the book written by Roger McNeice. It was agreed by the committee that was set up by council, and the books were paid for by Hazel Brothers, not the council, and Max Doyle and Peter Spratt and somebody else was supposed to get a copy of them, and to date I haven't been notified, but I've been off for 3 months, as you know, but I'm not aware of those books being presented to those people.
The books haven't been presented, but staff did indicate to me a week or so ago that they were virtually ready to provide a copy of those books to both Mr. Spratt and to
Doyle.
Mr. Doyle.
Will that be in the form of a cup of tea here or what?
I'm not sure, Councillor.
Okay. And just the final one again is, I've raised with you, Sir Mayor, when you were good enough to come and visit me when I was ill, regarding the placard that was supposed to be erected down at the park. The letter that came with the came from Prince Philip. As you were aware, he sent us one for the 40th year, and he also sent us one with the 50th year. Again, the committee agreed that the leftover money from Hazel Brothers, and Hazel Brothers agreed with this also, that money be used to put that up.
That's to display the letter.
That's correct, Mayor, where the original one is.
I have some recollections on that, and I'll simply... Sarah, if you'd like to just on tape where we're at, please, for Councillor Grace.
Yep, through you, Mayor. The sign has been sent to the designer, and it's been approved, and it's going to be constructed soon. Thank you.
Sarah, all due respect, I was told that 2 months ago.
Well, I've only just approved it recently, so...
Well, I was told that it was approved and gone to the sign writer, so I don't know who's telling what, but
it's
I'm
been,
just...
It's been done.
Okay, well,
Grace.
Let's
Thank
see.
You.
Thank you.
That's it, Councillor Grace. Thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I had a couple of questions relating. There was some comment in the media, particularly noted in the Mercury on the 23rd of July, so this Sunday, to do with the talks about council amalgamations. And I just wanted to, I guess, clarify on the public record. One of the comments said that, listed all, you know, Hobart and Glenorchy and Clarence and Kingborough, as being in favour of a Capital Cities Act, and I couldn't recall any time that we'd said as a council that we're in favour of it, so I just wanted to clarify whether we did have a current position on that.
We don't have a current position because it hasn't been discussed here. The four mayors and general managers discussing it agreed that we could see some merit, and subject to council agreeing that we would support that, whether as a Hobart City Council Act or as an alliance between four councils. But that would be when we come back to council to bring that back. But, of course, we're a little bit away from that at this stage.
Thank you. And the second question was also relating to the discussions about amalgamations. And that same report said that Kingborough Council was going to discuss with Huon Valley amalgamations after there was an elected council for Huon Valley. Now, to me, that's seems to differ from our motion, I think it was from April, that we wanted to contact the Minister to urgently ask for to give Huon Valley permission to talk to us about amalgamations and so on. I can't recall word for word the last answer we got to a question about this, so I just wanted to know what the current situation was with that motion, and just clarify that because my understanding is what was in that report on Sunday was incorrect, that we actually were happy to talk now, not that we were waiting until there was a council.
The item went through council approximately April. I could be wrong on that, but I think it was about April. And Mr. Gutwin was written to by the General Manager virtually the next day, or certainly the day after. There's been no response, and although I haven't spoken to the General Manager since the end of last week, the General Manager was in fact going to take up with one of the advisers, which I circulated, I think, in response to Councillor Winter's question to me on Thursday or Wednesday or Friday. In relation to the paper, I did indicate to the reporter of the Mercury that we would certainly like to have the Minister allow us to have discussions, and that was about it. So from that point of view, that was all my comments were, because until we have a response from Mr. Gutwin, we're in the land of the unknown.
No, thank you. That fits with my understanding, but I wanted to put it on the public record. Thank
that's you. Fine. Thank you. Councillor Winter.
Yes, also in reference to one of the articles, Councillor Atkinson is referencing the Sunday Tasmanian story regarding the Capital City Act. Has Council taken any steps to clarify its position in the media with respect to this? Because the article clearly states that the South's big four councils, including Kingborough, will push for legislation ensuring a strategic approach, etc. So is Council taking any countermeasures to correct the record?
We have agreed to the concept of that, and as I said before, whether that's as a full partner or as an alliance, that hasn't been discussed, and of course it hasn't been to Council for us to have a decision on that. And I think most of what I read was virtually from Clarence. I think Clarence were the drivers of that particular article. That probably hasn't answered your question, but it's a difficult one in the sense that do we come out and say, well, we haven't discussed it? Well, I guess as the four mayors and the four general managers have discussed and we see value in it, but again, there's been no decision made by that subcommittee to even come back to the councils at this stage.
Okay, I suppose my point is that we haven't actually agreed to this, and it's written in the paper that we're pushing for the legislation, so there seems to be a requirement here to correct the record. Anyway, look, let's. I've got other questions.
Yes.
In relation to Kingston Park, and just following on from my questions on notice, question one is, if Council is successful in obtaining an interest-free loan from the State Government's Economic Stimulus Scheme, what impact will that have on Council's submission for federal funding?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, my brief response is no influence, none whatsoever.
That's great, thanks. The second question is, any components of the Kingston Park project contingent on receiving external grants or interest-free loans?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair again, none, no. The project will proceed regardless of whether we receive interest-free loans or grants, though obviously receiving those external funding enables certain aspects of the project to be accelerated.
Sure, that leads into my third question. So what impact, if any, would a state government interest-free loan, for example, have on Kingston Park's development timeframes?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, I can't answer that precisely. I think that's probably something I'll just take on notice,
yeah,
if that's
fine.
Okay. It's difficult to say in relation to timeframes because we are waiting on final decisions in relation to things like that before we set our final timeframes. All I can suggest is that if we do receive external funding, it usually comes with timeframes, and we'll have to meet those shorter deadlines. So there would be a need to do things quicker than we might normally do, but I can't specify how much quicker that will be. But I will provide further information separately.
Mayor, can I raise a question on
what... One question?
Mr. Ferrier said that if we don't...
Can we have a line?
Oh, sorry. Mr. Ferrier just said that the project will go ahead without funding. Well, that's not what I was led to believe. I was led to believe in a report that if we don't get the $5 million that council has requested, the project won't go ahead.
Mr. Ferrier?
No, through the chair, the project... is self-reliant on its own funding, and that's what working with the Novaya consultants in relation to the land release strategy to ensure that it can be self-funding as much as possible. As has been previously reported to council, over the longer term and by the completion of the project, there is likely to be a financial shortfall. We're trying to keep that to a minimum, and that's with the assistance of the Novaya consultants. But the idea is that if we can obtain external funding, it will enable the project to be completed quicker than we might normally have been able to complete it, and it will reduce the amount of shortfall at the end of the day that the project might incur.
Thank you, Mr. Ferrier. Councillor Chadden.
Yes, Mayor. Last council meeting, I commented on the Briony Hill, and it was mentioned in the Environmental Services report on page 254 of the agenda for the 10th of July, and we mentioned about the denigration to the reserve, particularly by mountain bike riders. The question was asked of me by a ratepayer, and that's what the answer was in that agenda. Since then, the ratepayer has advised me that there's been further denigration to the reserve, and apparently in that report, and I quote, it said, "Kids can continue to ride their bikes and enjoy the reserve," end of quote. At the Hutchins Street entrance to the reserves, it says, and I've got a photocopy here of the sign, it says, "Bikes are not permitted in the reserve due to erosion problems," and at every other point of entry to the reserve, there is a no bike signage. So there seems to be some contradiction by one department and someone else. The Environmental Services report says we're going to encourage the kids to ride there. So I don't know quite what's going on, and the resident is asking what is going on. So perhaps the Deputy General Manager could take that on board for me and come back in due course with some information, please.
Thank you. Mr. Ferrier?
Through the Chair, yes, I'll take that on notice and come back with the information.
Thank you, councillors, for those questions. We'll move on. Motions of which notice has been given. At the day the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motion received. Petitions still being actioned, there were no petitions still being actioned. And petitions received in the last period, at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. The open session of council will now adjourn, and the planning authority will commence at 5:58. I'll remind councillors now that we're sitting as a planning authority. The first item is the officer's report in relation to delegated authority, 28th of June to the 11th of July 2017, and a recommendation on page 13. Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Questions, comments, councillors? No? I'll then put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Percy, that the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against, it's carried unanimously. On page 14 is a development application for demolition of existing dwelling and construction of four units at 49 to 51 Hutchins Street, Kingston, for Maple Leaf Nominees Proprietor Limited. And there is a recommendation on page 30, moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace.
May I have not a lot. It seems quite clear in the report. It's meeting all the requirements, parking, etc. So I'll hand it over, see if any of my colleagues have any major issues with it.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Any debate from any other councillors? Councillor Berry's driving for his button. Oh, well, Councillor Berry.
I support this recommendation. It's, I kind of congratulate the architect. It's a very difficult site. And to get four double-storey buildings on these two sites is quite an achievement. Couldn't be called a bit of overdevelopment, but it, and trees are going as well, but this is zoned residential, so I think that the comment about the trees is appropriate. I just did have one question. That I did notice a shipping container on the site. I just wondered whether there'd been an application to have that placed there.
I'll ask Mrs. Tyler Moore if she is aware of the shipping container and whether it has a an approval to be there. Mrs. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not aware of the shipping container and or previous approval for that shipping container. We can look into it as a matter of enforcement.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone.
I don't support this development. The application says it's almost fully compliant with all acceptable solutions. And when you read through carefully, Unit 4 has so many exceptions against it. Every unit has something that's not right. So they're either closer to the rear boundary, they don't have enough outside space. But Unit 4, which is the one at the end in the very narrow part, is almost, it has many, many non-compliant issues with it. And I think we should look very carefully as to whether this should be a three-unit or a four-unit site.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Councillor Atkinson.
And look, I wasn't going to comment on this because when I read the report, the representation was issues where someone was really just asking questions about their fence and so on. And but what I am interested in, since Councillor Bastone has raised about the compliance, was whether the staff had any comment to make on that comment.
Thank you. I'll ask Mrs. Tyler Moore if she'd like to make a comment in relation to Unit 4. Mrs. Tyler Moore.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I have no particular comment other than, yes, there are, they don't meet all the acceptable solutions, but they do meet the performance criteria as is outlined in the report.
Thank you, Mrs. Tunnell. Councillor Chatterton.
I was just going to ask a question which I think I know the answer to, but Councillor Bastone said, you know, it can reduce it to three, but I believe we've either got to prove it as four or decline the whole thing. We haven't got the power to reduce the number of units. Am I correct or incorrect?
I'll ask Mrs. Tyler Moore to respond.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that is correct. The change would be too substantial to be able to put it as a condition of permit.
Thank you. Further debate, councillors? Being none, I'll ask Councillor Grace to close debate, and he said closed. So I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for the demolition of existing dwelling and construction of four units at 49 to 51 Hutchins Street, Kingston, for Maple Leaf nominees for Pride Limited be approved subject to the following conditions. And in your agenda you'll see there are 13 conditions. I'll ask you to vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? We'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Councillors in favour are Councillors Winter, Grace, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Atkinson and Wass. And opposing the motion, Councillor Bastone. Motion is carried. The next item is on page 51. We're back to the open session, so the open session of council will resume at 6:05 PM. The first one is in relation to 25A Osborne Esplanade, Kingston Beach, and Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club. And there is a recommendation on page 73. Councillor Chatterton, please.
I'm moving the motion as printed.
And Councillor Fox. Thank you. Councillor Chatterton.
Thank you, Mayor. We discussed this at some length at a workshop last week. We have information from the Surf Life Saving Club of what their preferred option is at this point in time. We have that in writing, and we were advised at the workshop that the best way forward to give them try and get them what they require is to for council to give them permission to submit a DA. And the reason we need to do that is because we are the owner of the land, and the owner has to give permission for someone to do a DA on their land. So this particular part A and B of the motion is to give permission for the Surf Life Saving Club to A, submit a DA on the land at 65 Osborne Esplanade, and the other piece of land being that land at the back of the Kingston Beach Oval. The number C is saying that we need to get on and replace and refurbish the toilets as soon as possible, and C, D is to resource, see where we're going to get funding to get that done. And I think we all agree that those toilets and shower block needs to be replaced ASAP.
Thank you, Councillor Chandon. Councillor Gross.
Just on the workshop we had the other night, surprisingly I thought this is a bit of a surprise coming so quick, this report, because I thought we all virtually agreed that the management go back and meet with the Surf Life Saving Club, because there was some dispute on whether they wanted to go to the football record, whether they wanted to go down to 25A, and are we going to put another DA in and then find out, well, hang on, when they get through, halfway through, and it's appraised by staff that the thing's not going to meet again, or the surf club doesn't want to go there? I thought we were going to get some clarification from the Surf Life Saving Club before we made a decision. That was my look upon the workshop we had.
Thank you. I'll ask Mr. Ferrier to respond. Councillor Gross.
Through the chair, the Surf Life Saving Club are quite clear as to what they would like, and this report reflects that, and the information within the report is accurate in relation to what the Surf Club wants. That's consistent with what Councillor Chatterd stated earlier. So what we're proposing meets the request of the Surf Life Saving Club.
So what we're doing in essence is asking if, well, we'll agree to grant permission at both locations, and the surf club need to come back and put in a development application if they wish to proceed.
I would have liked, Mayor, a letter from the Surf Life Saving Club, even though it's in the report.
Okay, Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, we did get a written request from the Surf Life Saving Club, and the information in the report is taken word for word from that request, from that written request from the Surf Life Saving Club.
Okay, but we haven't got a copy of it, but you're saying you've got it. Thank you.
Would you like Mr. Ferrier to send that around to councillors?
I think so. Yeah, thank you.
That'll take place. Councillor Percy.
Thank you. Obviously, 25A Osborne Esplanade is a prime bit of land around Kingston Beach with the potential for community use. And as we found out previously, the zoning as a residential, general residential, greatly restricts the opportunities that council can use the land for. To rezone the block for community purposes or recreation is a long process. I think we were told from Tony last week that it's probably 18 months to 2 years possibly, because we've got the interim planning scheme, which also complicates the process at the moment. And also there's no guarantee that the planning commission would allow it anyway, so it's a very grey area if we go down that track as well. The only practical approach is to go with the current zoning of residential and what it allows as far as use on the site, and Deputy General Manager also has advised us there what we can do. Personally, I would certainly prefer to have the surf club build their clubhouse or facilities at the site, but the zoning impediments for this are the uncertainty of a successful rezoning process, and also the time delay, which would restrict probably their grant conditions. I think they've been given an extra 12 months, but there's no guarantees that it would go beyond that, so they obviously won't take the risk on that, risk on that one. As well as we know, there's also people resources required to do this, and obviously the surf club are probably worn out. They've been on this process for at least 2 years, not 3 years, and really their focus is probably on running a surf lifesaving club, so that's one of the reasons why they've asked to we'll be allowed to submit a development application at Kingston Beach Oval, a site that they have selected, and I think we must ensure that when this comes out into the media, it is them that are selected. We are not pushing into this area. They have said that they want to do it there, and because it's the best alternative for them. Obviously, when they go down to Kingston Beach, there will be a lot of competing requirements for the use of the site. We've already said that the Kingston RSL Club may want to do that in the future, and also we've also already got the Junior Football Club and the Crows Creek Club down there. So, but as far as 25AS Osmesmo, we need to ensure that the important community land is developed in a way that provides the greatest benefit to the Kingborough community. So upgraded toilets and change rooms and possibly a first aid room must be a priority. Storage facilities on the site for community organisations also a possibility, but we should ensure that it's a standard that enhances the site, and perhaps, and also perhaps we can put in their barbecue facilities could be provided on the site. All these things have been in the report. Other options such as selling 25A Osmes Bar are not in the best interest of the community. I know as a planning authority we're frustrated. Of course our delegation doesn't always meet what as councillors we would like to do on in certain sites, and this is probably one of them. I think the funds to build the toilet can be used from proceeds of the sale of land near the Blackmans Bay Sewerage Works, which was sold to Taswater. Failing that, putting in the 2018-19 CAPEX budget is unlikely that the replacement toilet would be done before or over summer, and therefore to start in July 2018 with the completion around October 2018 would be a good timeline. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Fox.
I'd like to thank the staff for this really thorough, excellent report that has been given to us to make this decision. I think this might be an opportunity for me to say that if there are going to be facilities built on either site or both sites, I would really like to see them multi-purpose, and also I would like to see them flexible and possibly removable and with a short-term lease. Because I feel that even though I'd welcome a presence of the Surf Life Saving Club on the Oval, and also accept that they might have requirements for a patrol room and a radio room now, technology changes, there might be other ways of communicating in the future, and there may be other pressures on council to provide public facilities in this area. And we need to, as has been mentioned, we need to make sure that this really valuable real estate in both locations is used to the best purpose in the future. Likewise, I'd like to see unisex toilets, if possible, although I realise they're associated with change rooms, but I think it's important that council moves into the future and just doesn't have male toilets and female toilets, but that they are accessible to everybody. As well as the barbecues, I think it's important that they are available for public use and that they're not just locked away for a private function. So with those comments, I heartily endorse the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Winter.
forgive me, some of this is things we raised in the workshop, but I think it's important that we get the answers on record. The first one is about that rezoning effort or potential for rezoning of land. Can we hear can we get a sort of a summary of what that process would be and what sort of timeframes we'll be looking at in an attempt to rezone that particular land to, say, recreation or whatever?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, the land is currently zoned general residential. if it was to be used on a permanent basis for community or recreational uses, we would zone it for community purpose or recreation. The zoning process itself, under normal circumstances, would take about 9 months to get through the statutory processes. As Councillor Percy, I think, stated earlier, it's likely to take longer under the current situation that we're in because of all the councils in Tasmania are preparing new planning schemes, and there's still a bit of an uncertainty as to whether we would amend the current interim scheme or we would have to wait until the new planning scheme came into place. Even just amending the current interim planning scheme, it may be delayed because of the Commission's program of assessing all the different planning schemes which are being put forward to it at the moment. So, hence, I've said that a minimum of 9 months to go through a rezoning process, and probably it could even extend out to 18 months to 2 years if we had to include it in the new planning scheme. So, it is a time period which is in excess of what would be suitable for the surf club. They have deadlines in relation to their grants, and they would like to see something done as soon as possible. And the rezoning would not only take time, but it also creates an element of uncertainty in relation to future development applications and things like that, which can be resolved fairly quickly if they're lodged fairly soon.
Yeah,
thank you, Mr.
Perry. And that's it is a timing issue and it's a frustrating issue, I'm sure, for the community who don't have that understanding of the sort of difficulties we're facing with the changeover in planning schemes and also changing zonings at any time. I suppose they're quite a complicated and long issue to deal with. And it's unfortunate that I think our options have been somewhat limited by that situation that we're in, because I certainly don't want this to be delayed for 2 years, despite wanting to see something significant on 25A. I just wanted to say on the record that I'm extremely disappointed that we're not progressing with the restaurant and surf life-saving co-located option. I remain strongly in favour of it, and it appears as though it's too difficult to achieve, and we saw from the development application that was knocked back by the planning authority that it wasn't even close to being able to be approved, and it hurt me a lot as a member of that planning authority to vote against it, but it was really the only option that we had. Has there been any communication with the former proponents of the restaurant in regards to tonight's agenda, and have we confirmed their intentions? Have they confirmed that they are not willing to proceed any further, or is that communication yet to happen, or is there anything formal that needs to happen to abolish our previous decision relating to the expression of interest process?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, I have spoken on the phone to the proponent for the restaurant, and he understands the situation and will be looking elsewhere to progress that particular development. Once the council has made a decision in relation to 25A, he will be written to formally in relation to that final decision.
Sure. In relation to the recommended motion, while I agree sort of with the basic where we're heading with it, I was a bit unsure what land we were actually talking about. It doesn't specifically say there that we're talking about 25A Osborne Esplanade, which I assume that we are. Yeah. So I wondered if that might need an amendment just to clarify exactly what we're doing here, particularly for the public record, people who aren't here. The other part, perhaps I thought was C. The decision on whether to replace or refurbish the existing public toilets is actually quite a big one for Kingston Beach. Not quite a big one, it's actually a huge issue and probably the most likely issue to affect most people, and we're sort of giving a broad permission for council staff to do anything with this. That's my reading. So I would probably be more comfortable with that
either being amended or taken out completely, so that when the time comes after we hear what the Surf Lifesaving Club want to do, for example, we can either decide that we want to refurbish what's there or replace or potentially replace. For example, if the Surf Lifesaving Club was to decide to attempt to put a DA or to put a DA forward for 25A for their club rooms, in that event, Mr. Deputy General Manager, would council be able to design a new public toilet around that club room space to sort of allow that to be used for the Surf Lifesaving Club as well as the public?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, the Surf Club have indicated that they're not going to lodge a development application for a club rooms at 25A.
Right.
And as indicated in paragraph A, council is only granting permission for a development application in relation to the storage and ancillary facilities such as a first aid room and patrol radio room.
Sorry.
So we're only agreeing to that component of their development. And paragraph C is really just indicating that we are confirming to the public that yes, council is going to proceed to replace or refurbish the existing toilets and change room building, but that is subject to D, which is that a further report be provided once we've come up with a reasonable design and the costing of that facility and being able to make a recommendation as to where those funds would be coming from.
I shouldn't have used the word club rooms, because what I meant was, as you put there, club facilities being a patrol or radio room. If that goes on 25A, and I notice that the motion's being amended there now, would it not be possible for council to design a new public toilet around those facilities?
Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, yes. The recommendations are to make a clear distinction between what the council is intending to do and what the Surf Club is intending to do, and allowing the Surf Club to proceed with their own proposal. But I've already indicated to the Surf Club that if a decision in this manner is taken by council, discussions will be held later this week with the Surf Club in relation to how we will coordinate those two separate developments and to ensure that they're done in a complementary way.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Grace. I suppose that's not really what I had in mind, but perhaps I've read the report in different ways to other people, because I certainly thought it was still a little bit open-ended about what the Surf Lifesaving Club was planning to do. I certainly wouldn't like to see us refurbish the existing public toilet if it was going to in any way negatively impact on what the Surf Lifesaving Club could do there. Again, I come back to the same point that I made last time we were sat here, was that I didn't want this site to end up being a public toilet at the same old... it's a disgusting public toilet, in anyone's language. So I wouldn't like to see us just refurbish it and then the Surf Lifesaving Club just plonk something else there. So I guess at this point in time I'm sort of starting to lean against not voting for this, because I feel like once we vote for this it sort of gets out of control and someone else makes the decisions, and the next time I hear about it is when there's a DA in front of us that I don't like. So I'm looking forward to other contributions.
The idea of agreeing to replace or refurbish will be subject to design and costs, and that will come back to council, and then council will make its decision to go one way or the other. I think we're all around the room. I think we would want to see a new one there rather than refurbish, if that helps you.
I think we should.
I go back here to start with? I just want from Councillor Chadden as the mover and Councillor Fox as the seconder. Mrs. Morton put in at 25A, Osborne Esplanade on A, so that everyone fine. Was there. Both agree, so that's fine, thank you. I'll go to Councillor Berry as the next.
Thank you, Mayor. This has been a long, difficult and at times painful process, painful for the Surf Club and for Council and probably a lot of people involved. I mean, before before Councillor Winter started asking lots of questions, I was very clear in my mind that we were proceeding. I completely support those four, A, B, C and D. The Surf Club have told us what they want at this stage. The possibility of rezoning, quite apart from the fact the public are going to object to that, the possibility of rezoning this site when it's surrounded by residential sites is extremely problematic. I've also got a personal view, even if that were to happen in the next 2 to 3 years, that the funds available to the Surf Life Saving Club do not actually provide anything like sufficient funds to build what I imagine they're wanting to build. So we've got significant problems, and I'd also congratulate Mr. Ferrier for lasting the pace with this project. It's been a test of virility, I think, for him more than anybody else. But we do have a solution. Okay, it may not be the best solution for the Surf Club, but we have a solution. And I think that it's really important that we don't go cheapskates and have the cheapest public toilets around. These are going to be the ones that are most used in our municipality. There are lots of very excellent designs for such buildings. There's some very good new ones that have been built at Signet, actually. Anyway, I fully support this. I thank Mr. Ferrier for his the clarity of the reports that he's provided with us, and the fact that he's lasted the distance, and we do actually now have a solution. It's a pity it didn't work out that it was going to be a restaurant and a Surf Life Saving Club. I was strongly supported that project at the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you, Mayor. I was glad.
Excuse me.
Pardon?
Sorry, I thought.
Yeah, my light was on well before. I switched it off. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Richard.
I wouldn't gazump you like that.
Nor would I. I wouldn't be gay.
I'm glad the Council went to point out about adding the 25A, because I was going to pick up on that too. I had a number of questions, sort of process questions, before I speak about the motion. So if the Surf Life Saving Club put in this one or two DAs, what opportunity is there for Council to make a further decision outside of the DA approval process as to whether that's a development that we want, or is the next, if they put in a DA, is the only opportunity we get to do a comment on the DA in terms of the planning scheme? Is giving them permission to put in a DA the only step in this, or can we then decide in our opinion whether it's appropriate development, ignoring whether it fits with the planning scheme or not?
Mr. Ferry?
Through the Chair, Council has two roles in this. Council has a role as the planning authority, and Council has a role as the landowner. So Council could decide it is not prepared to provide a lease for the to occupy the land.
Okay, so it'll come back to Council's proposal that it will.
That's correct.
Yep, that's what I want to clarify. Thank you. And I guess following on from that, is that where decisions about leasing agreements and ownership of the building and those sort of things get discussed as well?
Mr. Ferrier?
That's correct.
Thank you. I think, I like this solution, because this isn't Council's DA, it's the Surf Life Saving Club have a proposal of things they'd like to do. And I know there's been lots of discussion about around the room as to, is this really what they want, and so on. I think this is the process by which we find out what they really want, because the DA they put in will represent what they want to do. That seems a reasonable process to me. It's outside of any influence or interference by council or anyone else as to what they want to do. But I assume that they wouldn't put in a DA that wasn't what they wanted to do. So I think this is a good motion. I think that there is a strong expectation within the community that this land is used for a community purpose, and that's to some degree reflected in the permissible uses within the planning scheme, in that it can be for uses that are not strictly residential, but it's a support of the residential uses around it, and so that makes sense when people are talking about barbecues or public toilets, whatever. That's a reasonable use for that land, because it's supporting the community around it. it's not up to council to decide, but I hope that the developer, being the South Life Saving Club, consults broadly with the community about what they're proposing to do so that we avoid some of the division in the community that happened with the previous development. I think it was interesting Councillor Winter raising that the, all this business with the state planning scheme and so on is taking away council and planning commission resources, and if there was a proposed rezoning, that would slow down that process, which is a bit of a shame. And I think I'd highlight, there's an interesting tone to some of the comments, but we want the best for the Surf Life Saving Club, but above and beyond that, I want the best for the community of the use of that land. I have no problem with the Surf Life Saving Club, but our primary responsibility is to the broad community, including the Surf Life Saving Club, and so I think this is a good way to achieve that. They can put forward their DA, we can assess whether that's something that we are interested in having on our land and under what conditions, and it gives an opportunity for them, the Surf Life Saving Club, to say clearly about what they're interested in doing, and for us to respond to that and for them to consult with the community about it. I understand Councillor Winter's reservations about Clause C, but I think that there's still enough opportunity there for us to comment on what comes forward, so I support the motion is put. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Bastone.
I'm wondering if it's possible to amend Clause C, and I propose that we agree to replace the existing public toilets and changing room and take out or refurbish.
Okay, we've got an amendment, and the amendment by Councillor Bastone, seconded by Councillor Winter, is to agree to replace the existing toilets. Is that correct?
That's right.
As the mover, I would accept that. So it wouldn't have to go through as an amendment, but I don't know whether the seconder would.
I think it's a significant change.
Yes, I'm happy to go by the amendment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that gives everyone the opportunity. I don't think it changes the context, so I think I'm allowed to allow the amendment to occur. Would you like to speak to the amendment, Councillor Bastone?
Yes, I think that we have an opportunity now to do something on the site, and an opportunity to do something really quite spectacular architecturally for not a huge amount of money, something that makes people proud of what Kingborough is able to do. And we've had so much negative publicity about this block of land that if we actually turn out and do something interesting, and if you look at some of the public toilets in New Zealand, which are not wildly expensive toilets, I don't believe, but some of the ones in Rotorua and things, they're well designed, they're interesting, and they're very functional. And I just think this is our opportunity now to do something for the community down there that is eye-pleasing, unlike the block that's there at the moment.
Thank you, Councillor Bastone. I think design and cost of the proposed improvement. Councillor Atkinson?
I just had a question really, because I would have liked this to be put. Is this being put forward as an amendment?
An amendment.
It is an amendment, right. Well, I would have liked to see replace and or refurbish remain there. I am not saying that it's ideal for refurbish, but I don't want to second guess our engineering staff who will be doing the design, that refurbish can mean many things. I mean, you look at some renovations of houses, it's a completely new house. I don't want to bind them into a position where they have to completely demolish something which may be still of value. It may be a cheaper development, still with good quality and all those things you're looking for. I think that this restricts what they're doing too much.
Yes, and that's the reason I took as an amendment.
Yeah,
I see where you're coming from. Councillor Fox?
I have similar feelings. I like the or there between the two words, and I'd like to see it stay there, because without having an actual plan in front of us, we're committing ourselves one way or the other if we go for replacement, and there may well be cost associated with this that we cannot afford to replace, but we could afford to refurbish, and I think doing something is better than doing nothing. So I'd rather leave it there and wait for a report to come to us.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Berry?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm sympathetic to the notion that taking out refurbish, but I don't agree with it. I mean, you're going to, when we get the next report with regard to this, completely unnecessary. We're going to have a report that's going to provide us with alternatives, and it's going to provide us with, you know, if you refurbish this way or if we completely destroy it. My view at the moment is that, yeah, I think we probably should think of new toilets there, but all this is going to be dealt with in the next report. I think this amendment's unnecessary.
Thank you. Councillor Gross.
I agree with Councillor Berry because, I mean, hey, if we're going to refurnish them, which I very doubt very much because of the state the toilets are in, but if we was, it'd have to come to council. And then we'd be wasting more time. So, I mean, we'll get a report, and the engineer, no doubt, will come back and say that they're in appalling condition, they should be demolished. But, so I can't see the amendment's not going to do much, but if it makes councillors happy to have an amendment, that makes you happy. But still, I don't think deleting the word refurnishing is going to make any difference at all in the long run.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Chadden.
I don't want an engineer's report, I can tell you now. It's disgusting, it should be bulldozed tomorrow. I have no problem with the original motion which I moved, but if it satisfies people that we take up the refurbish, I'm happy to support that as well, because in my opinion, it should be bulldozed down and a new one built tomorrow.
Yeah, I think this is... to call me first.
Councillor Winter, you may speak to the amendment.
I think sometimes it's good to give firm and clear advice about what we want, and I can't see myself ever supporting under any circumstances refurbishing that toilet block as opposed to replacing it. So to save everybody time, particularly staff and their valuable time, I think we should give them a very clear direction. And let's face it, the least we can do for the users of Kingston Beach after the last 2 years is give them a new proper public toilet there, and this is our opportunity to make that very clear tonight, and what a good story for tomorrow in the Mercury to say we're committed to replacing that eyesore and disgusting thing that's there.
I'll just add to this, and then I'll ask Councillor Bastain to sum up. I will speak against the amendment simply because we might want to keep something like the back wall. And I think we're going to have two options. I'm certainly in favour of getting rid of the lot, but I would like to see what impact it is, and if we're going to keep any of it, A, the impact, and B, the cost. But I really believe the whole lot's got to go, but I think by keeping the recommendation as it is before the amendment, it just gives us two prongs to go, and we'll know instantly which way we want to go. So, Councillor Bastain, if you'd like to sum up.
Yes, I'd just like to say think very carefully about this. As Councillor Winter said, that if we leave it as it is to replace or refurbish, it gives the council staff far more work to do. If we're asking them just to replace them, cuts down time straight away. And this is what we want to do. As Councillor Winter said, we want firm guidance on them. We want those toilets gone. They're appalling.
Thank you, Councillor Bastain. I'll put the recommendation, and what we're looking at in paragraph C is to take out the words or refurbish and the cost of the rather than these. And in paragraph D, the replacement or refurbishment will be or refurbishment will be deleted. So I'll put the amendment to that as moved by Councillor Bastain and seconded by Councillor Winter. Those in favour of the amendment, please say aye. Those against, we'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Those in favour of the amendment are Councillors Winter, Councillor Grace, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Percy, Councillor Chatterton. And against the amendment are Councillors Fox, Berry, Atkinson and Wass. The amendment is carried. Yes. speakers to the motion? I just want to add to the speaking of that, and then I will ask Councillor Chadden to close debate. I just simply want to say that I support the recommendation. The recommendation certainly puts the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club in the driving seat as to what they want. We've heard what they want, and we hear other things that they may not. There's nothing stopping the club from putting up two DAs. So they could put up two DAs for one block of land if they so desire, and then choose the DA that best reflects their desires. So it does give them that ability to work out exactly what they want and go for their number one way. Councillor Chadden, would you like to close debate?
Just highlight, I suppose, to add what you've just said, Mayor, yes, it's spot on. Don't forget that the Surf Club already has facilities at Kingston Beach Oval, so they're facility that they may put a DA in for is only adding to what they already have on that site, so they already are on both the sites, so all they want to do is improve their facility on both the sites where they are now. And I think the other thing is that council's priority, as far as I'm concerned, is the toilets and the showers, and I think we've hit that nail on the head as well. So I think overall we're heading in the right direction for everybody at this point in time.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Fox, that Council A agree to grant permission to the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club to submit a development application for its additional storage and other ancillary facilities such as first aid, patrol and radio room at 25A Osborne Esplanade that are required to meet the reasonable needs of the club. B agree to grant permission for the Kingston Beach Surf Life Saving Club to submit a development application for its proposed clubhouse and additional storage within the Kingston Beach Oval property. C, agree to replace the existing public toilets and change room buildings so that the high quality public amenities are provided, and to design and cost the proposed improvements on 25A Osborne Esplanade. And D, require a further report be provided for Council's consideration in regard to the source of funding for the replacement of the existing public toilets and change room building in order that construction can occur as soon as practical. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? It's carried unanimously. On page 74 is policy update. Policy 3.14, rates and charges, and there is a recommendation on page 75. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Thank you. Who will second it? Councillor Atkinson. Councillor Percy, wish to add anything?
No, just that it's only a very minor change, and it's done and in point 4.17, where they just take out the day of each of the months. The months are still the same as when the rates are payable by 4 equal instalments, that being August, October, January, April. So it's just a very minor administrative change to it and brings on efficiencies. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Chatterley?
I just want to take the opportunity to reiterate again my major concern with rates as far as this municipality and every municipality in Tasmania is that the government has forced upon us the non-charging of rates for certain buildings, e.g. private schools, if they are a benevolent society, churches and all other buildings associated with benevolent societies. We are not allowed to charge rates and we get no compensation from the state government. Yes, we have a pensioner's remission which is issued by the state government. We pass on that remission and reimbursed by the state government. But when it comes to buildings that are owned by a benevolent society, we are precluded from charging rates, and it's costing this council and other councils around the state many hundreds of thousands of dollars, and something needs to be done.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Atkinson, that the updated rates and charges policy be approved and implemented. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 87, that's policy 3.3, disaster relief donations policy, and a recommendation on page 88, moved by Councillor Percy and seconded by Councillor Grace. Councillor Percy, wish to add anything?
No, it's only a minor change as well, just that there's no need to set aside a budget for funds for this. It's usually been immaterial, the amount that we provide. I think it's about $10,000. But I probably would ask a question to the finance manager, if I could, Mr. Breen. Even though we don't have to provide for funds out of the budget, I noticed that there's a reserve of $100,000, I think it is, in the administration reserve. I'm just wondering whether, is that the sort of thing that this could be used for in future?
Mr. Breen?
Through the chair, the admin reserve is something that I think was set up a number of years ago for any sort of, I guess, internal emergency where funds are required. So I couldn't see that applying to this, where this is very much an external activity. I think the reserve is probably more focused on internal issues. I think you're probably correct in saying this is only a very minor amount, and should there be a disaster, I'm certain we could find savings within the budget that would be able to fund any relief that we provide.
Thank you, Mr. Breen. Further questions, Councillor Percy? No. Any further councillors wish to debate any further on this item? There's none. I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Percy, seconded by Councillor Grace, that Council approves the policy 3.3 disaster relief donations policy as attached to the report. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. We'll move to page 95, information reports. We've got 9 information reports tonight. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Do I have a seconder, Councillor Chatterton? We'll move on to the first one, and it's the Mayor's activities or communications. Any questions that you might have, Councillor Grace?
Mayor, on your communications, I see you've met with Julie Collins again, and somewhere else I see where you've taken somebody down and had a look at Conyngham Road, Old Station Road, etc. Would you please consider, when you're talking to these politicians, to have a look at that Channel Highway, particularly through Margate? And we, I think, it's time that you as a leader must press home that we need something drastically wrong before done down there before somebody is killed. The banisters that were put up there the other week by council, I don't know how many times they've been run into. They haven't been knocked out of the ground, but by gee, I tell you what, they've been scarred. And I would really like that we have a workshop or something to discuss some of these things, particularly now that there's an election brewing next year from the state, and I'd like to see money spent and talks with the government to try and get funding to ease some of the problems.
Thank you. Take it on notice. Mr. Ferry has made a note of that. In relation to Senator Abetz doing a number of visitations, that was under the Roads to Recovery program, which the federal government fund. Councillor Bastone?
Yes, just on page 97 in relation to 20 and 21, you said you attended the Birches Bay bonfire night with Councillor Richard Atkinson. I was also there, and I was also at the Lantern Parade. So I posted on Facebook that I was at both places.
And I hope you enjoyed as much as I did, and Councillor Atkinson.
I did. I had a lot of mulled wine.
Sorry, I didn't see. Well, that's probably why I didn't see you.
Yes, I was probably under something.
Say no more. Councillor Atkinson.
On item 21, I'll vouch for the fact that Councillor Bastone was there, but you could put me in on number 20 as well while you're at it. Because I was at Blackman's Bay too, but it's dark and it's hard to see, I agree.
Point taken, thank you. Any further comments, councillors? If not, we'll move on to page 99 onwards, the financial report, 1st of July to the 30th of June. Councillor Percy, that's a surprise that you've got a question, no doubt?
Yes. And as you would know, I'm often asked why I raise specific financials at council meetings, and I will reiterate that we don't have a finance and governments committee where I used to review these figures and ask the questions. So of course, council has a governance role, and everything's under the microscope at the moment. That's why I'm asking these questions.
You're more than welcome to ask those questions, councillor.
I would like to thank Mr. Breen and Mr. Jones for finding the time to respond, because it is a busy time of year for council finance people. But I will ask the questions. I've cut them down a little bit,
Deputy Manager's asked me just to keep it nice and brief, so I don't like to get into bad books with him, so I'll cut it back a bit. So the first question is, we've got these financials for June. I'm just wondering how close to finalising the figures for the year ending June 2017 are these financial reports presented in the agenda?
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through the Chair. I guess we're sort of partway through the process at the moment. Generally, it'll take us about the month of July to finalise our fixed assets. So that's the big task that we have in July. So this is still subject to the finalisation of the fixed assets. However, at this stage, it looks like our depreciation number will be reasonably accurate, but potentially there could be some write-offs. We've got to still do a little bit of work on grants. The state government decided right at the end of June to throw a bit of money in our direction in the form of grants, so we need to just do a bit of work to finalise those. And until we finalise the accounts, if there's any large accrued expenditure that comes through, we'll include that in the numbers. So the expectation is that by early August we'll have a set of accounts which will go to the audit panel. And they are still subject to audit, which we will receive later towards the end of August. So it'll be about September before we have some finalised accounts.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's just a couple of reserves there, unexpended grants of $251,000, and one I just mentioned, the administration reserve, $100,000. They have moved during the year. I'm just wondering whether they will be looked at and are they likely to move.
Yes, certainly. Mr. Breen.
Through the Chair, the unexpended grants reserve is really just an end-of-year adjustment reserve where we note the grants that we've received where we haven't had commensurate expenditure against those grants. So that one is generally adjusted at the end of the financial year, and that will be done as part of the year-end process. The admin reserve, I explained before, is really an allocation of funds for emergency, internal emergency purposes. I think it's a reserve that throughout the next 12 months, when we do a thorough review of our reserves, we'll have a good look at to see whether we really require a reserve of that particular nature.
Yeah. This is page 106 of those of the following. Anyway. The public open space reserve, I think we said we're going to do a review of that. I haven't seen it as yet, so can you just give us an idea when that will be? We've got, at the moment, we've got about 10 years of money's in there of over collections, so I'm just wondering when we're going to start have a policy so we start using it.
Mr. Green.
Yes, through the Chair, there is a strategy that has been put together. At the moment it's currently being reviewed, so it is not far away from coming to Council.
All right. Also, I think you said before that we're still doing assets that on page 109 is still showing 700,000 as the carrying amount of assets retired. That's quite a big amount, and if there's any variance in that, it could change our underlying deficit quite considerably. So I'm just wondering how that's going.
Mr. Green.
Through the Chair, that one is still being worked on. It's very much dependent on finalised projects. This year there's a fair bit in carry forward expenditure for capital projects, so the expectation is that that will be on the high side, so we expect the final result to be in under 700,000.
Very good, thank you. Almost like to get a few gains. Page 134, natural resource management. Has the entire grant monies recorded as contribution in RM received for the CAT management program been spent, or will there be amounts carried over until 2017-18?
Mr. Breen.
Through the Chair, the grant is based on particular milestones, and we've been able to manage to adapt the milestones on almost a financial year basis. So as best we can, we'll be matching expenditure with the funding. And so for the next 12 months, our expectations will get about a further 150,000 in funding, and we will look to expend that similar amount.
Mm-hmm. There's also a favourable variance, this is on page 134 for NRM, not spent on coastal hazards projects. What has happened to this project?
Mr. Breen.
Unfortunately some costs associated with coastal hazards have been put into other expenditure within that particular area. We've got expenditure of about $40,000 for groundwater modelling, monitoring and mapping.
but some of that has been expensed and some hasn't. I think there's probably an area where we just didn't quite get the budget accurate.
Could you explain that to me? I shouldn't have asked that one. Transport storm damage, unfavourable variance is on page 141. Unfavourable variance of $243,000 and $39,000. Is any of this expenditure going to be recovered from the state or federal governments? I think it was due to the storm damage done back in July last year, was it? That sometimes the government reimburses councils for.
Mr. Brown.
Through the chair, we do have a claim in at the moment for around about $130,000. It's in the very early stages of being assessed and is subject to an audit by the TAS Audit Office. So at this stage, it's probably too early to determine whether all or part of that will be received in compensation. So for this last financial year, we won't be taking up any of that income, but should we get some, it'll be included in this year's results.
Mm-hmm. Page 144, halls buildings, hall scheduled and unscheduled maintenance and hall cleaning. There's favourable variances of $61,000, $14,000 and $14,000. Are we still doing this maintenance and cleaning to predefined service levels? Why the large savings?
Mr. Brown.
I guess essentially our maintenance and cleaning levels remained unchanged from previous years. The variants are a one-off arising from a restructure of the building maintenance unit, and balanced to some extent by the over-expenditure in employee costs. So we employed a supervisor during the year, and I think we've been better focused on our expenditure in that area.
Very good. Page 146, private works. Are there any comments on the unfavourable variance there?
Mr. Green.
Yeah, through the chair, this budget was put together when we had an expectation that the state government was providing us with significant private works on the island in the 16-17 year. Some of that came to fruition, but a lot certainly didn't, so that's the reason for the variance.
Mm-hmm. One of the major focuses at the end of the year from the Audit Department, TAS Audit Office, on councils is the asset sustainability ratio. State government wants it 100%, we budget for 80%. I'm just wondering what it looks like it might be as far as replacing our assets this year.
Mr. Brown?
Yeah, through the chair. Look, at this stage, we still haven't got a definitive number, but I guess the expectation will be around about the 70% mark. And that's due to a number of projects not being finalised as expected.
Mm-hmm. Right, just on a few on capital works, if I can. Page 155 to 160. The Beretta Waste Transfer Station tip shop extension was an overspend of $112,000. Can you just advise of that overspend, please?
Mr. Brown.
Through the chair, this project consists of work combined from two budgets, C1604 tip shop extension and C0693, the Beretta Waste Transfer Station office relocation, consisting of a total budget of $95,109. The works consist of coverage for the oil storage adjacent to the new office development, lean-to roof over the tip shop, gable roof over storage container and a ceiling roof for storage containers attached to the tip shop. Our prices received back were higher than the budget, and a variation of $90,500 was sought from the Infrastructure Management Group under the amount that would go to council for consideration. The project is not fully completed yet, but is expected the variation will come close to about $75,000 when finalised.
Mm-hmm. And the Thomas Road intersection overspend of $55,000. Just give us.
Once again, this variation was approved by the Infrastructure Management Group to account for additional costs associated primarily with the need for extensive subgrade improvement, and also to deal with some minor land acquisition.
And the Blackmans Bay Skate Park overspend of $56,000 or 50%.
Mr. Green.
Through the chair, the total budget for this project was $110,000, which included $60,000 from council and $50,000 from the TAS community grant. A variation was improved by the Infrastructure Management Group for a further $52,000 after the tender prices came in higher than budget, two tenders, and the lowest was $162,000. The project was advertised on Tenderlink with limited response. The additional costs above the estimate is tied up with the costs of bringing special construction staff for the placement and finish from the mainland.
And I've got two more. Sherbad Oval Club Room Foundations cost $68,000 and no budget. What process does this go through to provide funds?
Mr. Brown. through the chair. In early July 2016, an inspection identified that subsurface water movement in the club rooms, and an independent consultant required immediate closure of those particular club rooms. The repair of the club room foundations were authorised by the general manager as being urgent work required to ensure the safety of the building, and the cost is subject to an insurance claim.
Thank you. And the Twin Ovals scoreboard, overspend of $36,000, I believe there is some money coming back on this one.
Yeah,
Mr. Breen.
Through the chair, in regards to this one, the Tigers Football Club will be invoiced for the balance of the funds beyond council's allocation. At the moment it's $36,000, but we haven't quite finalised the entire project, so it'll be a number probably slightly in excess of that. Right.
And that'll be taken up in June, hopefully.
It will be, yes.
Thanks everybody for the patience. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Breen. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Atkinson.
Thank you. I think this report highlights any concerns that any member of the community has about whether we have public and transparent finances for the council, because combination of what's presented to us and Councillor Percy's questioning, I think shows that we have a proper process. Because Councillor Percy raised it, I asked the question about the Governance and Finance Committee, and when we agreed to continue with having one council meeting, my recollection is that motion said that would be consideration of further committees. What was the outcome of that consideration? Because once again, my recollection is that there was a feeling around the table that a finance committee would be appropriate.
I'll have to take that question on notice. I just can't remember in sufficient detail.
Yep, thank you. The other question I had, several of Mr. Breen's answers were about tenders coming in higher than budget. Are we comfortable that our estimation process is right? Were they just, black swan, unexpected, or is there a problem with our estimation process that we have to finesse this a bit?
Mr. Breen, you probably don't have the answers for this, but I'll ask him to speak.
Yeah, look, through the chair, I guess my knowledge of the tender process at the moment is that there seems to be significant demand for resources in particular areas, and I think that's where we're finding that we're struggling to get tender prices at the levels that we would expect. I think this has led to a review of the estimation process to see, I guess we've had to sort of reset our expectations on the cost of some of these particular projects. So I think hopefully in the future we'll have corrected that somewhat, but it is one of those areas that's subject to supply and demand.
Thanks.
Also, Councillor Atkinson, I took that up with Mr. Reeve early last month, virtually the same question, with the idea that maybe we need to be a little bit more accurate, and he was going to review and look into that as well.
Thank you. And I guess a follow-up question, which I expect you also take on notice, is what do we do as far as noting how right or wrong we are in that estimation process and using that to guide our future processes? Do we do a review, like an annual review or whatever, that says, well, this is how good we were with that estimation, this is how wrong the tenders came in compared with what we expected? Do we have a formal process there, or
unless Mr. Reeve wants to answer, I think we'll take that to Mr. Reeve, and Mr. Ferrier has made a note of that.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Gross.
I won't talk on tenders, but I have talked about tenders for so many years on this council. I think it's time again we looked at that situation. I mean, we hear lack of tenders about. They've gone because of reasons, and they don't want a tender here for some reason, and I think that is something that we need to find out more about. And I note what you said, that you have raised that, and I'm pleased you have. Mayor, what I can understand is we've got... Oh, sorry. Thank you, Councillor. I'm one step ahead of everyone else, sorry. But,
on that basis, Councillor Gross, we'll move on to the Kingborough...
Excuse me.
Councillor Chadden's got a question, has he?
No, I've got a question. I've got a comment. Yep. I think we need to get it right that it said in the media that this council is a debt-ridden council, and that is totally, totally false. We have not got a loan on our books. We have cash reserves, and we have cash in the bank. We have a problem with not fully funding our depreciation. It is a book deficit figure, which needs to be corrected. The Auditor General wishes all councils to have a fully funded depreciation. We are working towards that, and we will get there in a few years' time on our long-term financial plan. But we are not debt-ridden, we do not have any debt, and we have not had any borrowings, I would say, and I may be wrong, for at least 10 years.
Yes, thank you, and I know it's an item that I have mentioned a few times to the media, but the media don't wish to put that in. Councillor Grace, on that, we're now moving into Kingborough Waste Services bi-monthly report.
Just at the tip shop, it says that a negative impact of almost 20,000, yet we've overspent at the tip shop. Now, I don't think by putting a new tip shop is going to make it any better unless we're more smarter in the way we sell stuff down at the tip shop, because I've heard that there's a lot of people don't go to the tip shop because it's too expensive. So maybe that's something, again, that we can look at. I look at Bruny Island, Mayor. I'm talking on page 162 for those who have an agenda. Bruny Island, it says much more waste delivered to the site than expected through the summer months. So the revenue was 31,000, but then it goes on to say down the bottom that this 30,000 spent on bins on Bruny Island. Now, council took this over, 2 years ago now, I would imagine. About 2 years ago, we took it from a contractor and decided that KWS would do it. Seeing the isolation on Bruny Island, and I've watched it very closely since we've taken it over, and also when it was under contract. One would think, Mayor, why can't we get smarter? 30,000 is a lot of ratepayers' money, because all the stuff that's coming across from Bruny Island is uncompacted stuff. It's loose in a bin. Why don't we buy a compactor or buy another trailer and set it up on the island? There's power down there, put a hydraulic system in where it can work the hydraulic ram in the trailer and compact it. So a truck picks it up then and it's fully compacted. And I reckon you'd cut this by half.
Mr. Ferry has taken a note of that, and we'll pass it on to Mr. Reeve for response.
I haven't gone through much more, but I think we need to be smarter. Down at Lactrona as well in the disposal, because a lot of people, and I've had a lot of calls just at late, and I don't know whether you have, people have said they've rang you, Mayor, about the disposal of waste on our roadsides. Apparently quite a lot of that's going on again, because they just won't go to the tip, particularly when we increase.
Yes, and that was covered in Mr. Breen's or Mr. Jones's report. Councillor Percy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I mean, it's only up to May, but I think we should be very pleased with the council on this good result that's coming from KWS. I think it's come about by us listening to the board down there and actually listening to how they want to run the business and what charges they should do. As long as those charges are to market, marketable, which they have been. So by looking at this report, there's also good initiatives on how to manage and reduce the waste. I mean, the green waste, down there, the green waste, I should say, the paint back and the tyre cycle are all good initiatives, which has reduced the amount of waste that goes down to copping. Also, I noticed in there that we're working with the schools, so we're doing the education of students as well, which is good for our future waste management policy, I think, or strategy that we're just about to put out there in the community, or as far as recycling. A couple of things I probably would mention from the report is, I'm just wondering why KWS have their own separate policies, why they don't just accept what the council policies are and incorporate those. I just think it says in there somewhere how many policies they've incorporated this in the last couple of months anyway. So that's just a question I probably have, why we need to reinvent. Yeah, I mean, I know it's company, but they've...
I'll ask KWS Director, Mr. Ferrier, to respond. Yes,
that would be very nice to hear from Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, the brief response is all those policies are just adaptions of the Council policies.
Right.
They're just rebranded under KWS and some minor changes made to incorporate KWS, so it's not a lot of work, it's just a rebrand of Council policies.
Good. That sounds good. Also, I think I'll notice on the balance sheet, which is now a positive balance sheet, and some councillors would love that, that there is no provision for long service leave, which surprises me because I would have thought you would have had long-term employees down there, and if none of them are over 10 years, you've still got to have a provision there, depending on the probability of them getting to 10 years. So maybe, I don't know who could explain that to me, but it's certainly unusual, I would think.
Ask Mr. Jones to respond. Mr. Jones?
There will be a provision that will come in the June accounts. It was recognised earlier in the year that the employees had been very low, it would have been an insignificant amount, and that was starting to trend up, and the decision was made to wait till year end to put the entry through.
Thank you. Councillor Whitter.
I just wanted to, given I've said some mean things about KWS, I thought I should say some positive things about particularly about the balance sheet issue that Councillor Percy's pointed out. For the first time in a while, we've got a balance sheet with assets in a positive territory, which is obviously a reassuring thing for Council and for KWS that it's now it's traded itself out, essentially. It's traded itself out of...
only because the rates were up. Three times.
I was actually going to get to that.
So the rates are going up to cover that.
Back to Council.
What's happened was that it was about 12 months ago, I think, that Council made the decision to increase the gate fee. Now, my recollection is different to Councillor Percy's, because my recollection is that KWS actually requested that we forgive them the loan amount, and Council made a separate decision to increase the gate fee by a couple of dollars or whatever it was at that time, or $1. And that's essentially where we've seen the turnaround. But also we've noted, I can't remember if it was in a workshop or here, so I better not say what it was, but I have noted some... there's been some operational improvements that have impacted the operational budget in a positive way as well. So I think we're in a much better position than we were 12 months ago at KWS, at least financially. Experience that I've had there on many occasions recently has been extremely positive. So I'm much more comfortable where we are now. The only thing that I would raise, and I know that Councillor Atkinson's raised this a few times in the past, is the tip shop. It does appear to me that there is scope here to investigate alternative ways of running the tip shop, not potentially through KWS doing it directly, but through other models that work at different sites, because it isn't performing to expectations at the moment. Now, that may change as the whole of KWS has, but... we see that there's a negative impact of tip shop sales of nearly $20,000 with less revenue than expected, and it appears to me that perhaps there's a need for some more focus on that particular area that could be through a different model, but that's something for another day.
Can I just say that I think since Mr. Shelley has been the chair or the CEO of KWS, he has highlighted a number of changes that he wished, and of course Council have adopted those changes, which I think has made that different than how it was going for the many years before. And also the new manager, Mr. Baldwin, has got some different ideas and some different ways of doing things, and I think was a tremendous pickup by this Council. And with the e-waste that we were finding a dead end, and the paint drop-off, they were just two areas that we couldn't progress further before, and Mr. Baldwin has been able to turn those around. So I think if you give Mr. Baldwin a little bit of time, I'm sure he will be able to address the tip shop as well. But yeah, I just think it's worthwhile mentioning those two people, because they have been instrumental in the turnaround, if you like. Councillor Atkinson.
Very briefly, because most of what I was going to say has been covered by others. It's excellent to see that things are improving, because I know that there are people around the table with serious concerns about how KWS was performing, and I'm personally feeling quite positive. And although others have mentioned my highlight, it's great to see the paint-back scheme, the e-waste collection, the tyre cycle, some of these being cash positive and some being cash neutral. The less we put to landfill, the better. But, yeah, look, this is all very encouraging, and I won't repeat things others have said.
Thank you. Councillor Chatterley?
I just wonder whether Mr Ferrier would take on board to the board and see whether or not we can get some more data as regards the tip shop. It would be interesting if we knew what types of... If they obviously would have sales figures in various categories and how those categories are continuing. So, for example, if they were selling furniture, is that dropping off or is it increasing? Or is, for example, they might have, well, let's say, knickknacks. But I'd be interested to see what categories they look at for their sales and where they're tracking. And I think to say... the tip shop's dropped off. Yes, it has, but is it in certain areas? And is it the economy that's causing some of that? Is it the desire for people to buy certain products that has an effect? And just to get an idea of why it's dropped off, and by looking at those sort of break-up of figures could give us an indication of where to go for the future.
Yeah, Mr Ferrier's made notes, and I think before the extensions were done, a lot of the articles were destroyed by the weather as well.
Yeah.
Councillor Fox?
Yeah, that was my concern, that it took a long time for that roofing to be put in, and I think we probably lost a lot of stock because of that.
Yeah. On that note, we'll move to page 174, Governance and Property Services Quarterly Report for the period April to June 2017. We have Mr Smee here to answer any of your questions. Councillor Atkinson.
Great, I like questions. On page 174, there's mention of the draft Kingborough Open Space Strategy prepared, an inspection of the Bruny Island airstrip by an aviation specialist was undertaken, and evaluation of the property obtained at the Bruny Island Community Association last month. Earlier this month, there were people very concerned about what was happening there, and I wondered if staff could give us, and for the public, some clarification of what's happening about the Bruny Island airstrip.
Mr Smee.
Yes, through you, Mr Mayor. The regulations with respect to management and ownership of airstrips have changed. So, accordingly, we engaged the services of an aviation specialist to give us some advice as to what we should be doing in relation to our ownership of that facility and whether we're meeting these requirements. There are some significant risk management issues for council associated with owning an airstrip, and we are currently assessing what options there are going forward with respect to the future of that airstrip. And as part of that process, we haven't obtained an evaluation on it. It will be listed for discussion at the next BIAC committee, and we will be further consulting with the community, but it's our intention to bring a report to council in the near future that does assess the various options with a view to making a determination as to whether this airstrip should be continued to be owned and managed by council in the future.
Thank you, I look forward to that. There's a fantastic new word on page 174, or new to me, that revetments or something, but I won't dwell on that. Look, I was pleased to see the Cottage Road to Kingston Wetlands track completed, listed there, and the Tracks and Trails Draft Strategic Action Plan also mentioned, because they're things that are not only close to my heart, but it's great to see the wetlands being more accessible. I had a couple of questions on the compliance section of the report. That's all part of this, isn't it? On page 184, if I could stop it whizzing up and down my page. One moment. 184, I think it is. Starting with 179, I'm after. Is that part of this? That's part of this, isn't it?
that total number of parking infringements issued per annum, it seems to be a little bit of a spike, well, significant spike. I wondered if there was any explanation of why that dropped off so much in 15-16 and was so huge in 16-17.
Mr. Smee. Through you, Mr. Mayor, the reason for the spike last financial year is due to the fact we've put on increased staff and we're now patrolling 5 days a week, whereas in the past we've only patrolled with the existing compliance officers we used to have, whereas now we've got two dedicated parking staff that operate across the 5 days, so that's the reason for the spike.
And the other aspect would have been, Mr. Smee, where we were not able to get that information from the Registrar of Motor Vehicles, wasn't it? Where last year would have been less?
Yes, you're correct, Mr. Mayor. We did have an issue in relation to that that's now resolved. Mm.
And that's, to me, interesting that the infringements are going up, which means that we're catching abuse of the parking restrictions. It'll be interesting to see if that flattens out as people realise that it's being enforced. I had a question on page 180, that figure 2, it talked about annual requests. Was that, is that calendar years or financial years?
Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, they're calendar years, hence 2017, we're only halfway through.
Yeah, that makes sense, that's what I thought. And I was also interested in figure 3 about the pretty significant variation month on month in those enforcement requests. Is there? I mean, it's similar per year, but it's follows a strange pattern. Is there an explanation of that,
Mr. Smee?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the spike occurs in summer or the start of summer, and it's related to requests for fire hazard abatement. It's also related to more dogs on beaches at that time.
Right, no, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy.
I'm not quite sure whether this is Mr. Smith's line or not, but Glensin units, has council got any arrangements for those or future plans? Yeah,
that's Mr. Smith.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council's in the past has considered the future of those units and whether they should be continued to be managed by council or managed by an alternate provider, and we continue to be open to suggestions for alternate management models, and once again there's currently some proposals in the offing that we will be bringing to council in the near future.
Councillor Grace. No, I thought you had your light on before, but obviously it didn't. Councillor Chadden.
Yeah, look, just a quick one for Mr. Smee. Congratulations on getting the Cottage Road track, wetlands track completed, but it's not on the website. I was on the website today and having a look at all the dots and dashes. It needs to be updated on the website. If you could get someone to do that, please.
Mr. Smee. Yep, done. Thank you. On that basis, we'll move on to page 181, Planning Enforcement. A report there from Mrs. Tyler Moore. She's also present. We'll answer any questions. Councillor Berry.
Well, just a comment. Thank you very much for the report from staff. I'm pleased to see there are plans for us to be LUPA compliant, hopefully in the not too distant future. I mean, the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act makes it quite clear, as stated in the report, that the planning authority must, within the ambit of its power, observe and enforce the observance of that planning scheme, etc., etc., which seems at the moment we're not able to do. I was very pleased to see that the General Manager and Executive Team are looking into this and looking at a business case. I mean, it is in the report that councillors probably do understand that the compliance staff do not attend to planning or building non-compliance matters. So, but perhaps I could ask you, Mayor, when we might expect to see a report or a business case come to council.
Mr. Ferrier or Mrs. Tyler Moore? Mr. Ferrier.
Through the chair, we're just considering the business case in relation to that, and it's something that obviously if it requires additional funding, it would need to be identified where that funding is coming from. As indicated in the report, there's the capacity for it to be to some extent self-funding, but that does depend upon the issuing of significant infringement notices and things like that to actually fund the position. And we obviously don't want to be put into a position where we're funding positions from the fines that are issued necessarily, or at least relying on that solely. So we're just looking at the funding capacity within council in relation to that particular position, and that's all part of the business case. So I'm sure that we could be able to put something back to council within a few months anyway.
I can't remember. Can you just confirm for me, through the Mayor, that would you have a statutory responsibility to deal with this, and that if we don't do this, we are actually liable?
Through the Chair, we're still enforcing the planning scheme. Well, it's not as if we're not enforcing the planning scheme. We're enforcing the planning scheme. It's just a matter of are we out there doing it in a proactive manner. We're doing it in a reactive manner in relation to following up complaints. So we would contend that we're actually compliant with the Act. It's just that we're not doing it in a proactive manner. We're doing it in a reactive manner in relation to complaints.
That's all the questions, Councillor Perry? Yep, thank you. Councillor Percy?
Seems obvious that this resource needs certain skills. I'm just wondering whether there's any opportunity to resource share with, say, Huon Valley or one of the other councils on this, as seems to be the way that the government wants councils to operate these days, is to resource share. So maybe we have a comment on that.
Thank you. Mr. Ferrier.
Through the Chair, there is always that ability to resource share in any area. It just becomes a little bit difficult in the sense that it really is reliant upon there being some spare resource. It might be that one council is employing a part-time officer, and that we could both employ a part-time officer each, and then that resource is employed on a full-time basis across the two councils. We haven't had those discussions yet with the other councils in that regard. Certainly the manager, Mrs. Tyler Moore, has spoken to the other councils in relation to what resources they do allocate to compliance and enforcement, and in each case there are some dedicated resources to this work, and but whether we can actually resource with or resource share with those councils, certainly we've made that approach, but at this stage they're not available.
And for the record, Councillor Atkinson left the meeting at 7:26. Councillor Bastone.
This is again on the enforcement. If we're looking at 4.2, earlier on we say that it wasn't successful in 4.1. The officer resigned, we couldn't get anyone. And then it comes down to the main reasons relate to a need to prioritise the processing of DAs. Well, that's obviously very important, plus a lack of staff resources to complete and then implement. Then it says, additionally, there is a lack of skill base currently within the team to fully undertake the enforcement role. Can I suggest we have had several advertisements in the Mercury newspaper for planning officers, I've noticed over the last few months. Can we make sure that when we appoint someone in the next time, they actually have the skills to fully undertake the enforcement role?
Mrs. Tyler Moore, do you wish to add?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the skill base is different from the statutory planner, and typically would have some sort of possible legal background and training. It's not as straightforward as just applying the planning scheme, because you need to prepare for courts, do court hearings and so forth. So the skill base is specific. Typically, in my experience at other municipalities, the enforcement officer is not a qualified planner, but instead is specialises in the enforcement side. So I don't think that it's likely that you would get general applicants that have the skill base in enforcement. It's more of a specialised area.
And for the record, Councillor Atkinson returned to our meeting at 7:28. Councillor Grace.
I mentioned before, and I suppose I mentioned it again, and I have mentioned this on a few occasions through my life here, is it not time council considered hiring a lawyer? As big as we are, the problems we have, I think that council should seriously look at the aspect of engaging its own lawyer. How much a year would we say? I'm not saying we wouldn't still have to go outside and probably resource some other advice, but why shouldn't we look at putting a lawyer on us? As this planning scheme is only going to get harder, it's not going to get easier.
Mrs. Tyler-Moore, would you like to respond, or Mr. Perry?
I'll answer that. It's a lawyer for planning. We certainly use Don Armstrong as our normal lawyer, but council employs lawyers across all the different areas of council's operations. It could be industrial matters, it could be HR matters like that, it could be property matters, it could be insurance matters. We generally employ legal firms which specialise in particular matters, rather than employ a lawyer that can operate across a whole range of different matters, because that generally is not what they do. They tend to specialise in particular areas of the law. It's certainly the case that some councils employ lawyers in some of their statutory, regulatory sort of areas. I'm aware that both Hobart and Glenorchy do that. I'm not sure that any other councils do, and they come at a considerable cost is the other matter as well. So we could do it. It's probably something we'll consider as we go forward, but at the moment we don't have the funds to employ somebody like that on a full-time basis. So what we do is we use lawyers on a part-time basis as consultants.
No, but we could look at it as we always get negative, I understand where you're coming from, but to me that's a lot of negative stuff if you don't want to do something. But I'm saying if you want to be positive about it, we could look at, A, what it's costing for Armstrong, what it's costing for this one, what it's costing for all these old lawyers that we're paying, if we had a lawyer in-house. As I said, it doesn't eliminate that we would have to go and get other advice, but it would save us, and he would cost us probably, what have we got, 1, 2, 3 engineers in the planning department with engineering qualifications, haven't they, and etc. And yet planners, and we've got somebody doing something here that's not qualified, this is not fair crack of the whip for our ratepayers when you stop and think about it. And I'll leave it there because I've got a lot of issues that I could raise, but I don't want another 4 code of conducts. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. And for the record, Councillor Percy left the meeting at 7:29, returning at 7:31. On that note, we'll move across to the next item, which is on page 185, and that is Councillor attendance at meetings. Councillor Atkinson.
Let's make one brief comment, Mr. Mayor. Are you ever going to let the Deputy Mayor chair a meeting? You turn up for everything. Poor woman. You come to meetings when you're sick? I don't.
I came to the last meeting and then got sick.
Do you want to
vote? On that note, we'll move to page 180.
No, I have a question.
Sorry, I didn't see your light. You're behind that silver jug. Councillor Bastone.
In the leave of absence approved during the period, two people have medical leave written against theirs, but I took medical leave and it's not written against my leave of absence.
You give me the date and Mrs. Morton will ensure it is on there for you.
Yes, I did ask for medical leave from the 16th of the 5th, 17 to the 29th of the 5th, 17.
Okay, noted, thank you. Councillor Atkinson.
That's another question on that issue. Why note the type of leave? I mean, as I understand it, leave of absence is approved in closed session. The councillors decide whether the leave is legitimate or not.
I think by putting medical leave there, it's implying that some sorts of leave are more justified than others, and I'm wondering whether there's any reason we have to note the sort of leave.
I don't believe there is, but I guess those councils asked for that to be noted.
We didn't ask for it to be noted, but it's normally you ask for your leave, and normally medical leave is normally a longer duration. People, in these cases, they were a long period of time, and people may construe that people don't want to attend council meetings if one person writes to the paper and says so.
Sure. I guess my point is that there are other kinds of, you know, people have to take leave for other reasons that are not medical, that are beyond their control, and to me, it gives an implication that medical leave is somehow a special case.
We'll review the situation and from the 1st of July onwards, we'll go by whatever's said or we'll bring it back to councillors. All right, thank you for bringing that up. Page 186 is council allowance expenses. 1st of July to the 30th of June. And on page 187 is council allowances and expenses to Bruny Island ferry tickets.
Could I just make a comment again?
Certainly.
I've made this before, where it says taking Gert Boost on Wilderness Cruise. I took him to the Wilderness Cruise, not on the cruise.
Noted by me anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you. And on page 188 is the donations table for the period of the 1st of July 2016 to the 30th of June 2017, which gets published in the annual report. Councillor Grace?
Just a question on the donations. I've been told, and you've been told by a phone call, progress groups now, like Laurie Lonigan at Middleton, Southern Channel, Ratepass, we assisted over the last 3 or 4 years when Councillor Berry was mayor and yourself in assistance with portable toilets because the facility down there that hasn't got sufficient toilets and they always overflow anyway. And we also give them, since we had trouble with the roadworks down there, gave them traffic assistance. Now I'm told that they have to put in a community grant. Now, I can't recall this coming through council, but it may have come through when I was off on my sick leave. But it's not given those people time this year. So if a policy's changed, we should allow time to adjust to that. So I guess, Mayor, are we still going to assist the Channel ratepayers with the toilets and the traffic control that we normally do? Coming up this February.
After you alluded that to me last week, I think it was, I've taken that up with the General Manager and he's investigating that, which is the toilets, and I've just added the traffic assistance. I'll have to speak to him and I'll come back to you.
Could you come back to Mrs. Lonigan also, Mayor?
Yes, not a problem.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Councillor Bastone?
Yeah, I feel like Councillor Percy at the moment. When we're looking at the amount donated, to my knowledge, we no longer have any smaller coin than a 5-cent piece, and yet we've managed to do flowers for $37.41. We're doing the afternoon tea for $227.27. The awards were $200.91. I just find this a bit peculiar.
Mr. Jones is ready to answer, and I'm ready to answer, but I'll ask Mr. Jones to respond.
A couple of ways. Electronic payments, of course, do go to the cents, but mainly with the removal of GST has the impact.
That was Mr. Keating who destroyed my family savings when he took away the 1 and 2 cent pieces. No, they're worthless. Okay, well, that's the donations table. So at this stage, we'll move to page 190, and we're talking confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session.
Point of order. You must put the motion. We move.
Sorry, you're quite right. You're quite right. It was all that discussion that got away from me. Let me go back. I can't. And it was moved by Councillor Percy and seconded by Councillor Chadden that the following information item reports be noted. 1, Mayor's communications. 2, Finance report. 1st of July 2016, the 30th of June 2017. Kingborough Waste Services bi-monthly report. Four was the Governance and Property Services quarterly report for the period April to June 2017. Five, the planning enforcement. Six, councillor attendance at meetings. Seven, the councillor allowances and expense table for the period the 1st of July 16 through to the 30th of June 17. Eight was the Bruny Island ticket, ferry tickets to councillors for the period the 1st of July 2016 to the 30th of June 2017. And number nine, donations. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That's carried unanimously, and thank you for that, Councillor Chatterton. We'll move now to page 190, confirmation of items to deal with in closed session. And I think that was Councillor Grace and Councillor Berry. So I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillors Grace and Councillor Berry that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, the following items to be dealt with in closed session: applications for leave of absence and information report delegated authority. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. Closed session, that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meetings Procedures Regulation 2015, the Council move into closed session. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. I'll put that recommendation moved by Councillor Fox and seconded by Councillor Chatterton. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Is carried unanimously. In accordance with the Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guideline Policy, recording of the open session of Council will now cease.